Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with Jen Sterling. She is my friend. She is a New York Times bestselling author. She and I have been talking lately about things that are maybe coming up in the next, several years, including open contact. And I wanted to discuss something with her. But first, let me introduce her. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Leslie. Thanks for having me again. I love being on this podcast. I love it so much. This is my favorite podcast on the planet. Every Monday, I'm so excited. Unless you repeat something, unless you're repeating me. No, I'm just kidding. You have the best podcast. So thank you for having me on it. And thank you for all that you do and all of your guests, because they are like really, really amazing and really opened my mind a lot. And so I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And that is the goal. And every time I have you on, my listeners, they all go, her energy is so amazing. Please have her back on. And I'm like, I will. I promise. I don't want to share you too much, because then you're going to have your own podcast and blow me out of the water.
Definitely not, because listen, like, look, in college, like, my major was radio, TV, film. I always wanted to be a DJ, like, not like a DJ, like a radio personality. Yeah. So podcasting has always been like, oh, I didn't get the chance to do this, but I could have my own podcast. The amount of work and how that stresses me out when I'm actually also trying to like write books and be a writer, there's no way that I could do both of those things.
Well, I tell you what, it is a little bit of work, not going to lie. But, you know, the good thing about it, because I'm not writing, is that I can be done. Like, I can record with you, do all the things I need to do with it and be done. And I don't have to go through a second edit, and I don't have to go through a cover artist, and I don't have to go through a formatter. I'm just done.
Yeah. No, but, you know, I'm a Virgo, so I'm very like literal and very organized. I would have to plan things out in advance. And I'm actually terrible at that for a Virgo. I'm horrible at planning things in advance. So I feel like I would need a staff so that I could just be the star of the podcast. It's not going to happen, but I'm not having one.
Staff is the way to go, baby. It really is. You are so funny. So I was telling Jen before we started recording, there is a video going around on TikTok about a Brazilian psychic who claims, and she's been claiming this for about a month now, that today in Miami, the World Cup game with Brazil and Scotland, supposedly there's going to be a mothership that's going to come down and take 700 people.
Wait, what?
I know.
What?
And she's got 23 million followers on whatever platform she's on. I don't know which one it is. And apparently she's very, very accurate. Now, here's the deal, guys. When they start giving dates, they start giving numbers, I have a little problem with that. That's the same thing as saying we're going to have another rapture. You know what I mean? So now we are actually recording on the day. So if you don't hear from anybody on Monday, you'll know it probably did happen. Maybe we all got abducted. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. So I haven't even seen this. 23 million followers is, first of all, a freaking lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And I could see why something like that would gain traction, exactly because she gave a specific date and a specific event.
Yes.
That just seems so crazy, right? Like, everyone. Goodbye, everyone.
Well, you know, this open contact stuff now, you know, this could prove things. Now, let's just say some people see a UFO or whatever it is they call it now, UAP. You know, okay, I could see that happening, you know, because I think it's tonight. Today is June 24th. It's Wednesday. So today was the day she called it, right? So we shall see. I just thought it was interesting because we were going to talk about open contact or alien disclosure already. And when that came up, I was like, I got to talk to Jen about this. So Jen, what do you think about all this? What do you think about aliens? Some people that are kind of religious might think this is a demon thing. I certainly don't. But I mean, what are your thoughts?
No, I mean, I don't either. I would say, and I think I've told you before, and probably when you've had me on your podcast, that your podcast has been the single most thing that has kind of started my awakening and awareness. Yeah. When it comes to, I mean, aliens, right? I mean, that's just what we're calling them, aliens.
Yeah.
I didn't give a lot of thought to it before. I think I was like, oh, sure, of course they exist. Just saying it as words, but not really like getting any deeper than that.
Right.
I still have only barely like scratched the surface. I will tell you that probably like for the last year, definitely for the last year of my life, my focus and my learning has been really, really on quantum physics, yes, quantum mechanics,
yes,
the multiple timelines. And that's also something that you had said to me before, that time is happening all at once. And I was like, Leslie, absolutely fucking not. Like, absolutely not. This is not happening. Like, because I'm drawn to certain places, because I know I had a past life there. Like, all, it still like really kind of jumbles my brain to think about things happening all at once.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of like past things happening all at once. It's easier to think present things are happening at the same time in different timelines. But yeah, I didn't answer your question.
No, you know, it's funny. We were talking about my mom before we started recording. She just chimed in. And you know what she said to me? She said, consciousness is always happening. It's happening right now. Everybody's, you know, energy of consciousness, whether you're alive or dead. So if consciousness is always alive and always going, how could it not be everything is happening at once?
Yeah, I think it's a really hard thing to really like wrap your mind around when you're in a conscious state at this level, right? Of being
physically
human.
Yes.
Because our brain can only factor in so many things, you know?
Right,
so it's hard. It's hard without feeling like, okay, this is breaking my brain.
Right. And you know, what's funny is, you know, and we've talked about this before. I mean, we have nothing but time here. We have day and night. We have seasons. You know, that's just something in our physical presence that we just do. We just have it. So trying to get outside of that, you know, because it's funny, because when they did Interstellar and they had astronauts on the film saying, now, if you go this far away and the Earth is spinning a certain way and we're over here spinning a different way, time will be different. And I don't even understand that. But even that close of a situation, you know, can have an impact. Like, you can be a little younger coming back if you're gone, and I could be 10 years older and you're about the same age. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's...
I know.
It's so much. But back to the aliens, I definitely think like, yes, of course. I've never once thought, like, even when I was younger, like, oh, we're the only people to ever exist. Like, that is just so, to me, like, that can't be possible. That's crazy talk, right? Can't just be us. As far as what's going to happen, like, I have no idea. Like, on your podcast before, you talked about Bashar, and you had a guest that also talked about someone else. After that podcast, I mean, I was instantly messaging you, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, what is Bashar? Who is, like, what is this? And you're like, oh. So sometimes I think, like, you get so caught up in what you know and what's familiar to you. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Can you please... what is this? And then I went and listened to a bunch of like the messages, and I was like, this is sick. I love it. Like, this was not, it was not scary at all. It just seemed very just kind of matter of fact. And messages, I mean, it's no different than me growing up and enjoying hearing messages from psychics, or enjoying hearing people who can speak to the dead and would give those messages. For me, it's just like, that's always been kind of a comfort, like something that was comfortable to me, not something that I was ever like, oh, this is scary. I always was like, yeah, this is real.
Yeah, it really is. And since you said that, Bashar is actually something Daryl Anka, a man who channels an actual alien named Bashar. And that is who I was talking about. But back to you, you have intuition, girl. You have, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just a knowing. Is that what, clairsentient?
Right. The clairsentient is the knowing. So I just get thoughts or something in my head. It's always in the right side. And I don't ever like hear, like I don't hear voices.
Yeah.
I will just get like an image implanted in my head. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Or, and also feelings, right? Like if I walk into a house and the energy is bad, I have to leave.
Yeah.
So
she doesn't do scary, guys. She doesn't do scary.
No, I don't do scary. I don't like scary at all. And that is just something that I've just kind of always had.
Yeah.
So your listeners don't know, because why would they know this?
Yeah.
And you and I were like, are we going to talk about this? And I was like, we have to talk about it because it happened. So like I got diagnosed with cancer I laugh because it's just so ridiculous to me and also still makes me so mad.
Yeah.
In January. Mm-hmm. And so we dealt with all that. I had radiation, I had chemotherapy, I had two different kinds of radiation. And, you know, I'm done. I'm about 5 weeks out of being done with all the treatment.
So happy for you, honey. Yes.
Thank you. I'm still just like so annoyed. It's crazy because what I thought was like, okay, if this is happening to me, there's totally going to be a reason for yes. it. I'm going to have some crazy experience. I'm going to get to tell Leslie about on her podcast. Yeah. Like something cool is going to happen from this. Yes. I mean, who thinks like that? But I'm like, something is going to happen that I'm going to be like, oh, this is why I went through this. Yeah, there's nothing. Oh. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. I hated it. It was so dumb. I was so mad that I got diagnosed with cancer in the first place because I was like, what a cliche. Everyone gets cancer. I can't believe that you're giving me cancer. This is so annoying. I can't believe, like, and it just was a lot. Yeah. I mean, every single day for weeks. And then the chemo is horrible. Like, that is disgusting. And just, I mean, all of it was just ridiculous. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You don't give them any cool, nothing.
Well, you
no
were so
cool
funny.
Experience.
It was so funny that it pissed you off because, you know, when we would talk, because, you know, Jenna and I, we'd text each other or we call each other or whatever. And I was telling her so many different times, my mom is like telling me the stuff they're making you go through is just not necessary. And, but, you know, she's not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. It's just, I just got that feeling from her. And that's kind of how she was feeling. Jen was feeling too. So it was just crazy how, you know, you were feeling the same way without even knowing my mom was going to tell me that, you know?
I definitely felt like, hey, this is overkill. This feels like way too much because, I mean, what the doctors and the medical staff do is just make it a very generalization, like, treatment plan.
Like one size fits all.
Yes, one size fits all. Like, nothing is personal. Everything is like, here's what's been proven over the years to work the best in this situation. So here's just what we recommend everyone do.
Yeah.
And I was like, but what if I don't need that? Like, what if I don't need this amount of stuff? And it just, it really started to feel like I had no say and no control over what was going on. And they made me feel bad because I had to have external and internal radiation. Mm. And before my external radiation was even done, I went and got like a full body scan to see, you know, oh, have the cancer cells shrunk or are they gone? Which we knew they were gone. Who knows how long they were gone for?
Yeah.
But they were gone. Everything was gone. There was no signs of anything. Yet I still had to finish this treatment and still had to do the internal radiation. And I was like, but why? Like, if it's gone, why do I have to do it?
Exactly.
And right now in my head, you know, what just came into me was whoever said, it's just like when you're sick and you get a prescription and they tell you to finish taking it, even though you already feel better.
Exactly. No, that's exactly what it is. It's probably your guides. But, you know, it's funny because when my mom said, you just don't need all this, she hadn't told me that. Like, I didn't know that, you know, when she was telling me what was going on, I was like, that just seems like so much. My mom keeps telling me, you just don't need all this, you know? So I was feeling that way already. And you just, there's a knowing when you get that inkling, just like when she just got this inkling about, just like taking antibiotics, just this, that knowing.
The doctors, when I questioned, I was like, hey, I don't really want to do the internal radiation. If there's nothing showing, like, I really don't want to do it. And they were just like, well, I mean, they literally said to me, well, you're going to be really upset if it comes back then.
No.
And you're going to wish you had done this internal. And I was like, well, I'm going to be pissed off if it comes back anyway.
Right.
And it's not like there's a guarantee that, oh, if you do all these things, it's guaranteed to not come back. Like, cancer is crazy. This whole thing was crazy.
Yeah.
Mostly it just was annoying. Like, I really was annoyed from the second I got the diagnosis, and I'm still annoyed about it.
Honey, I know. But you know what? You're so past it. And the thing is, you're such a bright light, and you're just so funny. And I swear, part of your recovery is just the fact that you spend your life on the positive side, mostly. You know, you really do. Unless it's a bird that's dead in your yard.
Shut up! My poor bird! This baby bird! I can't... I just want to help it.
I know. Jen is trying to rescue, what kind of bird is it?
It's a fledgling magpie.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna die. I just don't want to watch it happen.
I know. And my mom was like, just let it go because it's gonna pass because it's just not doing well. Yeah, I know. Anyway, back to aliens. So, hey, they're real.
They're real. I mean, of course they're real. I don't have any experience with the aliens. Yeah. And listen, I don't know that I want to have experiences with the aliens. It's the same thing with ghosts, right, for me, and yeah, spirits. I don't want to see them because my initial reaction is to be scared. So it's a totally different thing if I get messages or visions or visits in my dreams. I'm down with that. I love that.
Yeah.
But when my eyeballs are open and they're there, I don't like that. That's too scary for me.
Right. Well, I have heard people in the past say that when they were approached by an alien, however they were approached, they come with such love, you don't feel fear. So that would be nice to know. If you did see one, more than likely you're not going to feel fear, unless it's like the ones that kind of freak me out a little bit. It's not really the gray men or those. It's not the Nordics that kind of look like us. It's the things that look like cats or insects or animals, you know?
I don't know. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be tricked.
Yeah, because some of them look like praying mantis. That doesn't seem like it would be fun. I mean, I don't think I'd like that.
Unless I was like, are we in a Disney movie? Is this a Bug's Life? Are we Pixar? This is a great movie. Yeah. Like, everything comes back to Disney for me.
It does. I know. But yeah, so we'll have to see, guys, if the Brazilian psychic is correct about today's World Cup game happening actually tonight. Guys, I mean, I'm sorry. When you start putting dates and numbers on things, I think that can only be a bad thing. But we will see.
Leslie, could you imagine?
Right?
If this really happened and like the stands are full and then all of a sudden the stands are half empty, like if that happened in real time, I feel like we would not believe our eyes.
Well, I think also it's going to have to be something massive like that for enough people to go, okay, this has actually happened. It's not some kind of AI trick or whatever. It's going to have to be
100%. Like the one person next to you can't just disappear because everyone will explain it away. Right. But everyone will try and explain it away anyway. I mean, that's like what your conscious brain does. This is such a far-fetched and such like an unreal type of thing that your brain is going to want to make sense of it. I mean, exactly. That's very normal.
Yeah, no, it is. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, Bashar's saying open contact won't happen until next year in 2027. And he said
that's what many, many people are saying.
Yeah.
Like they're all on the same kind of timeline, the same wavelength of when it comes to that kind of stuff. Everyone is saying 2027, which I also think is really like, okay, what do you mean? What's gonna happen?
Do we need another soccer game to where they can just come in and try to abduct people? I don't know.
Are they gonna rise up out of the reflecting pool all covered in blue paint?
or algae? I mean, what's gonna happen, right?
Gosh.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was commenting on someone's TikTok about timelines. And I said, yeah, it's crazy how timelines work, because in my timeline, Tim Curry passed away, Courtney Love passed away. And then I found out they were both still very much alive. Did that happen? Did you remember that, Jen?
No. When you said Courtney Love, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Tim Curry. In my timeline, Tim Curry passed away and so did Courtney Love. And then I looked them up and they were both alive. And I've had people in those comments going, wait, what? They're both alive? I'm telling you.
No way.
Yes. I'm old enough to remember when Mandela died in prison and we now have the Mandela effect. I'm old enough to remember when it was Chick-fil-A, C-H-I-C.
I remember that too. Yeah. I remember Chick-fil-A not being spelled the way it's spelled now.
Right.
I remember there was something else.
Berenstain Bears.
The Berenstain Bears. Yeah. And there was so something else. I'm like, I remember all these things. And I would swear.
Fruit of a Loom.
Yes. I would swear it was like, especially the Chick-fil-A.
I know, because I made fun of it. Because you and I are writers. And I'm like, why did they not spell it correctly? And now all of a sudden it's spelled correctly.
Chick-fil-A.
Right.
Why is it Chick-fil-A?
I know. And my husband's like, well, honey, remember the cows spell it C-H-I-K? And I'm like, yeah, but that was the cows, honey. This was the logo. I don't know. And he doesn't remember that. He remembers it C-H-I-C-K.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
That, I mean, Yeah, no, I totally remember that.
Yeah.
The Mandela effect is really, like, that's just such a cool, I just think it's cool. I think it's really neat.
Yeah.
I definitely was not in a timeline where Courtney Love died.
Yeah,
so, and that's the first time I've heard of that. So that's super interesting.
But do you remember when Tim Curry died from Rocky Horror Picture Show? Do you remember him?
No.
Well, I thought he died, and he had not. You know, now Meatloaf is for sure dead.
Meatloaf. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, I do not recall either of those things. Mostly the spellings.
Yeah, the spellings.
Right? Mostly the weird spellings and the weird. And if you think about it, you're like, well, that's kind of an easy thing to manipulate.
It really, you know, and the thing is, people are like, oh, it's CERN. Well, CERN wasn't even invented when Mandela passed away for me back in the 90s. So I do think CERN might have a little something to do with what's going on now. But I think things are just kind of going crazy right now. I think something is shifting in our world and I don't know how to explain it. And I asked my mom, she's like, I'm not going to spoil this for you. You need to experience this. There's some things I'm not going to tell you. It's the whole thing.
Mom is so great. Listen, really cool. You guys, all I would do is make fun of Leslie because she'd be like, you guys know that I could talk to my mom in every podcast episode, but now I'm constantly texting her. I'm like, yo, can you ask your mom? Can you ask your mom this? And hey, I really want to know. I have a really specific question. Can you tell me what your mom thinks about this?
Right.
The last thing that I asked you, I was like, listen, you got to ask your mom. Like, is my book going to be optioned for a freaking TV show? And like, is The Perfect Game going to go crazy?
Yes.
Because most of you guys don't know and you wouldn't read this, but I wrote a sports romance book that's baseball. And like right now, the off-campus series is really, really popular on Prime. And so they're looking for other college age sports romance books. And so I've had people reach out to me asking if the rights are available to adapt.
I'm so excited for you. I know. And when my mother was right, wasn't she? She's always been right with you, hasn't she?
She has always been right. Well, but I haven't heard back from anyone yet. And I mean, I worked in the entertainment industry for years before I started writing. So I know how these things go. But just even having interest, it's the first time since I wrote these books in 2012, these books came out and they were wildly popular.
Yes.
Like insanely popular, and I didn't get a single TV adaption request.
Right,
and
right.
All my friends were getting these, right? All my friends are getting $1 million deals, movie adaption rights bought out, like, everything bought out except for my book. Except for my book. And I was like, why is everybody else getting this and not me? And I've always just felt like The Perfect Game is like the little book that could, right? Like the little book that could. And it's such a good story.
It is such a good story.
Would make like a phenomenal streaming series.
I want
that to happen so bad because I know it could be so damn good.
And we need good anymore. We don't get any good quality stuff anymore. So that's why I'm hoping they do, because
I loved Off Campus, and it was the one like book adaptation that I've watched recently that got me excited, that I was like, oh my gosh, if they could do it this good for The Perfect Game could be like phenomenal. Like this series could be unbelievable, could be so freaking good. And it's all about having the right people work on it. And I really like don't know what's going to happen with it, but I would love for it to happen.
Well, you deserve it. And I think it would be phenomenal, just like you said. So my thing is too, guys, when Jen writes books, I mean, she can write, I was such a slow writer. She can write what, 5 or 6, how many a year do you write?
No, probably like 4.
Okay.
I'm pretty average at like a 3 to 4 book a year is about, I feel like I'm fairly slow.
I must be a turtle then, because you're so much faster than me. But you've got, gosh, so many books, over 20, 30 books, guys, so many books. And in fact, one of the bookstores close to me in my little town, they ordered a bunch of her books because they know you. They went to one of your book signings and they were like, we need to have Jen Sterling books. And I'm like, yeah, you do, because she's a friend of mine. So damn it, get it. And they did. They got all your books. So
that's so awesome. I love that.
Well,
but the thing that's crazy too is that I'm really not like the type of writer that is like, oh, every single book that I've written should be a movie. Every single book that I've written should be a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't even think that. I don't think that at all. But I can see very specifically like, oh, what would make a great series, yes, or what would be a good movie, but it's not every single book that I've written. And that's also not why I write them. Right. I write them because I want people to read them.
You're like me. I started writing, I don't know if you did this, but I started writing because, and I like the paranormal stuff, the romance with that. I wasn't reading what I wanted to read. And I was like, I've already thought of so many different ways this could go. And then my friends were like, why don't you just start writing? And then I started writing what I wanted to read, what the kinds of books I wanted. Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, that's exactly what Colleen says. Colleen,
yeah,
Hoover.
Yeah.
She said, I mean, she started writing Slammed because she wanted to read a book about slam poetry.
I had no idea.
And she's,
oh wow.
And she was like, there's no books like these, so I'm just going to write one.
Yeah.
So it's exactly what you say. I started writing because my very first book was a dream that I had had, like,
yes,
oh my God, probably like 20 years ago now. And so that never left me. And you know what's crazy is that I think about that now with everything that I've learned with like timelines, yes, and time and quantum mechanics and things happening at the same time. I'm like, that dream was real. Like that dream was not a dream. That was, and that's why I was so rattled by it. Couldn't stop thinking about it. Cried when I woke up because I wasn't in that time anymore.
See what I'm saying? Think about
but
that.
But I've never wow, felt like that, like, since.
Yes.
But that feeling was unlike anything I've ever felt before. And I've never been able to forget that quote-unquote dream. Wow. I know it was a life I was living.
Oh, of course. It's like the person that, like, I've talked to you guys about in the coma, remember? She was in a coma for however long. It could have been 12 hours, 2 weeks, whatever, a year.
She lived
a whole life, and she was grieving her children, her husband, when she woke up.
Yes.
And that's actually a recent one. I've heard of the story before.
Yes. I've heard those stories, yes, too, but that one is really recent. Yeah. She woke up and was like, where are my kids? And yes.
And she's like 17. There's no way. You know what I mean? She was really young. Yeah.
She was young. Fascinating.
Yeah. So you were talking about when you were promoting your books and trying to kind of get them out even more, because you do all of your own promotions. You start listening to a podcast about the energy of money and how it changed the way you think about how you promote and how you think about writing, correct?
Yeah, definitely. It still is very much like money focused,
yeah,
but it is money focused, trying to solve your root issues. And I think, like, when I talked to you about it last time, which was a little bit over a year ago, because that's when I stepped into her world, and I'm definitely still in it. That's also what introduced me to quantum mechanics.
Mm.
Like, she talks about quantum mechanics. She talks about the quantum shift. She talks about, you know, different timelines and what's the richest version of yourself living in, like, what decisions is she making? What decisions is that?
Yeah.
That is neither here nor there. She introduced the concept to me about that we all have inner wounds, abandonment, unworthiness,
yeah,
and betrayal. And that those inner wounds, whatever ones we relate to, is also how we feel about money.
Yes.
And I think when I first talked to you, I was like, oh my God, abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I think money will leave me. I think money won't stay, blah, blah, blah. As I've done a little bit more kind of inner work and started to remember certain things, I'm like, oh my God, it's totally unworthiness. Like, it could be both, obviously.
Yeah.
But when it comes to my career and my writing, I really relate to the unworthiness thing, like I said before, because everyone seems to be getting everything while I get quote unquote nothing. And I'm like, why am I surrounded by people who are getting all these offers and nothing is happening for me?
Yeah.
My books must not be good enough. Like, my books are shitty.
No.
Everybody else's books are so much better than mine. So it becomes this thing of like, well, you're not worthy of having your book adapted into TV. You're not worthy of having your books sell millions of copies anymore. Like, it's a hard thing to unwind that when it feels like you're constantly presented with that truth.
Right.
So how do you get past it to be like, but if this is what keeps happening, like, how is this not real? You know what I mean?
Right.
If this is the truth you've been given, then of course you're going to believe it.
Right. And I do think that this is, even though you think that, I mean, that's a shadow work kind of situation here where you have to get past that vibration of feeling how you feel with that truth and go, that's not true. I was wildly popular. I sold a ton of books and I made the best sell. I mean, to make the New York Times bestselling list, guys, it's a major thing. And she was also a USA Today bestselling author. So people know her. She's pretty big. So, and I understand you're like, well, if I can do that and I can make it on this list, why can't somebody adapt it for a film or TV or whatever? But it's not, but it's not really about that. And you know, there are so many people that I've talked to or watched, even like comedians that have been in the circuit for 20 years and they finally make it big in their 50s and 60s, you know?
Yeah, I'll take it.
I mean,
I'll take it.
Yeah, just like Bill Letson, you guys, I talked about him last episode too. He was like, when all this alien stuff comes to light, people are going to flock to your podcast and other podcasts like yours. Yours is really going to take off. And I'm like, Bill, I've been doing that. He goes, it doesn't matter. They're not going to flock to the celebrity ones and the ones that just talk about being a celebrity and how cool it is and how rich they are. They're going to go to people that talk about the answers of, hey, what do you think about aliens? And what does Bashar think? And this is what we think. And this is what my mom tells me and all of the things. And we give answers as opposed to, and hopefully make people feel better and hopefully awaken people like we did maybe with Jen a little bit, to where we're not just like talking about your beautiful house and how many cars you have.
Yeah, unrelatable shit. I just got chills while you were talking about that. And for me, the message for you came to me just saying, it just takes one person. And yeah. And that's like the same thing for me with the books.
Yes.
But for you with the podcast, it just takes one person. It just takes one event. It can just be one person talking about your podcast, yeah, recommending your podcast, recommending the book to change everything.
Right.
I mean, it really does happen that fast. The ability to have things happen that fast is there. And right, you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
No, you don't.
For me with my books, I think I've told you before, whenever I start talking crazy of like, oh, well, this isn't happening and this hasn't happened and this is blah, 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 blah. First of all, I'm trying not to do anything like that anymore. So I even hate saying that out loud on your podcast.
Yeah.
I always get the message that right when we were talking earlier, they just started screaming in my ear, just going timing, 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 timing.
No, it's true.
Like just repeating that word over and over again. And I was like, I know. Okay.
Yeah.
I know. I know. I know. You guys have been saying it for years. Timing.
Well, and and it could be this like, okay, you're supposed to be not struggling, because you're not struggling. You're certainly writing and doing well with your books, but struggling with this concept, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, no, you came to overcome the fact that you had to struggle a little bit on this concept. You had to do this. This is something you wanted to come down and understand and learn. And it might be a patience thing. I don't know. Might be an unworthiness thing, but it might be all of those things wrapped up in one, to where when you finally go, I'm just going to let it go, which I think you have. I think you just let the universe work for you. And that's really all you can do. You know, you have your intentions. You put it out there. You're good.
I've learned a lot through working like with Shamina and just her concepts and going through old, you know, programming from when we were kids and the things that our parents said that we don't think affect us like that dramatically.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, but they do, because we heard that so much that we really believe that this is a concept that like money doesn't grow on trees, or money can be wasted, or if you want something, you have to work really hard for it. Otherwise, you don't quote unquote deserve it.
Right.
Like all of those things are very limiting beliefs when it comes to money and scarcity beliefs. And even if you're like, oh, I didn't, you know, money grows on trees, like I don't even think about that. But it is like rooted in your subconscious because you heard it so much as a child.
Right.
So somewhere in you, you know, you were raised to believe that. And it's about like letting those concepts go and knowing that money is masculine and the way we receive it is feminine. And so leaning into these kind of like feminine qualities where you're like, okay, like I want you to take care of me.
Right.
I'll ask for help. I don't have to do everything on my own, because that is a very masculine trait. Like, let me lean into being feminine and money's like, woo, I got you, girl.
Right?
Like, let me take care of you. And you're like, take care of me.
Right. Cause you're like deconstructing what your, what your beliefs were. Your beliefs were limiting you. There's no limit here.
And also just like staying in your masculine, like thinking that all these things make you really strong. Like, oh, I could do everything on my own. I don't have to ask for help.
Right.
I don't have a team because it's easier just to do it myself. And just all of those things are very masculine.
Yes.
And we as women have always been like, especially if you're a single mom, or especially if you're just, you know, like just feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Yeah.
you know, it's not good. Women are like meant to dip our toe into our masculinity for strength, but we're not meant to stay there.
Right.
We're not meant to stay in that form and to do that all the time. Like, we're meant to be softer.
Right. It's almost like a commune too with us, you know, like a little village, like we all help each other. And
I like it. So every time I'm like really, really aware and I make like conscious choices where I'm like, oh, I could carry all these boxes of books downstairs to my little warehouse where I'm doing it. I'm like, but you know, I don't have to. I'm going to ask Brett for help. Yeah. I'm going to ask him, do you think you could carry these boxes for me? Sure. And just asking for that help instead of doing it myself is leaning into my feminine. Good. And I like it. And I tell him too, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be leaning into my feminine a little bit more. So like you could be the masculine and you can kind of like take care of certain things and do certain things. And I like it because I'm also trying to tell the universe, like, I'm feminine. I'm open to receiving. I'm open to receiving. And as long as you're like in your masculine, I don't need anyone. I can do it myself. I can handle everything. You're closed off to receiving.
That's so true, because that is the deprogramming you even did to yourself, because it's always been up to you though, Jen. You've always had to be the one. Yes. You were the single mom. You were the breadwinner, which was fine. You did great. You actually did very well for yourself. And so because you did very well for yourself, you only had you to trust. So how could you trust other people and give them any of your trust? Because that was already taken away. So I'm done, you know. And so you're having to deprogram yourself in your early 50s, you know, and all of a sudden, all you've done your whole life is not depend on anyone else. I mean, I can understand why that would be hard for you.
Yes, especially in work and especially just in your day to day. I mean, all the stuff that she would talk about, like all the stuff that I just said, I'm like, oh, that was so me. And I always thought like, oh, look how strong I am. Yeah. Right? Like, look how strong I am. I don't need anyone. Look how successful I am. And I built that from nothing. And I did that all by myself and blah, blah, blah. And it's funny because when I see women talking like that now, my gut reaction is like, oh, like, yeah, you're not in a good place. Yeah. You think that you're so strong and you think you're in such a good place and you're not. And that was just me learning this. And I wouldn't have known had I not gone through learning that with Shamina. And I'm not even resistant to it because I'm like, oh, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, well, you're so much more balanced. And honestly, I wonder if that's kind of where this cancer manifested, girl. I know this is a weird take on that, but it's always been up to you. Now you've leaned into it. You took care of it, but now you've had help. And you know what I'm saying? Because cancer, I believe we can make ourselves sick.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think we can make ourselves sick. And I definitely think like sometimes you'll see somebody get sick and you're like, oh my God, life, like the universe really stepped in to slow you down. Yeah. I don't feel like that was it for me. Like I've been at a good balanced pace, right? I have a good work-life balance right now. Yeah. I don't know the reason for why the cancer decided to like explode in my stomach, but I really don't know why. And I wish there was something that it was like, oh, here was why. And who knows, maybe in the future, the reason will be known. Maybe me talking about it. But it's interesting because I don't want to talk about it. Like I forget.
Right. Now I do too.
I mean, literally 5 weeks out and I'm like, yeah, I'm not thinking about this. Like it's done. The only thing that sucks, and I will say, I feel like once you get cancer, you never don't have cancer. And you're constantly having to have these scans and these checkups. And so it's like this thing that never really goes away. And I think that's really fucked up. Because the physical is one thing, but the mental battle is something completely different. So like, you know, I have my first checkup in August. Like I'm going to be a nervous wreck that day because what if she's like, oh, it's back. Do you know what I mean? And you have to do these checks. Like I have to go every 3 months for 2 years. And that's obscene to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think you can have cancer be done. And yes, please go to the doctor. Please take care of yourself. Please do all the things you need to do. But I think that with you, I think it was just a one and done thing. It's just something that happened to you, something you had to learn from, something that made you stronger in a whole different way than you ever thought you'd be strong. And now you're going to be done. Yes, you're going to have to go back. You know, I have to get a sonogram on my thyroid every year. And a lot of that's because I couldn't speak my truth. And I think that's why I've had thyroid issues. I really, truly do.
Yeah. Wait, you just had somebody on with the Reiki. I totally want to do that.
Oh, girl. Her name is Kenzie Pennington. I just had her on and she's a holy fire Reiki master. And girl, I told you about the cold shoulder I had in my right shoulder. Yes. And I can't believe I don't have pain there. I'm not kidding. I'm not ever going to tell people. I'm not going to blow smoke. It's the absolute truth. I do not have pain there anymore. She shifted the energy and it's not there anymore.
Oh my gosh, I totally need to do that. I need somebody to holy Reiki master shift my shit out of my hips.
Right?
Yes.
I tell you, I could talk to you for hours and you know that, but I want everybody to know where to contact you if they want signed copies of your books or whatever else you want to offer people for your books or whatever. How can they find you?
Yeah, my website is jsterlingbooks.com. I have paperbacks and ebooks and audiobooks that are in there and they're bundled and they're at the best price. You can't get those prices anywhere else. And it's the only place that you can get signed copies of any of my books if that interests you. But if anybody ever wants to email me about anything, they're more than welcome to. And if for some reason I don't respond to your email, I definitely didn't get it. So please send it again. I respond to everyone, even in my DMs. That's one thing that's very, very important to me is to respond. I've always been that way. So yeah, I'll never ignore you unless, I don't know, unless you're weird.
unless so you're a stalker.
That's just jsterling@jenster.com. And that's Jenster with two N's. Okay. And yeah, and then author Jay Sterling on all the social media sites. So right. I am around. And please, just because I've said like, oh, I don't want to think about my cancer or don't really want to talk about it. If for some reason someone listening has recently been diagnosed and you're freaking out and you do want to reach out to me about cancer, please, please do that. Yeah. Please don't think that I don't want to talk to you about it. I'm more than willing to.
You're so sweet. That's so nice. And guys, this is why I had her on, because she's amazing.
Do we have any parting words from mom?
Oh.
Like, no pressure, Leslie.
I know. I just have to change courses here. She's saying that there's some weird crap. She knows I'm a little worried about July's astrology, and July's astrology is going to be really, really crazy and not great for our country. Yeah. But she keeps telling me, because I ask her a lot about this, she keeps telling me, you know what? You can't change anything. You know, all of this was going to happen whether he or anybody else was in office. So just go with it. Turn off the news if you need to. Get off social media if you need to. And I've told you guys this many times, but my mom keeps telling me this. So I'm just going to say what she's telling me. Protect yourself, protect your feelings, protect your heart, and depend on your friends and family and whoever else, your animals, and make sure that they, make sure you take care of your heart is what she's saying.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Of course, she had to bring up the animals and the dead bird across the street.
I know. I had to bring up the... Oh, she also says, guys... You know, go outside in nature, of course, but go touch trees. You can talk to trees. You can tell trees anything you want. They hear you and they will help you. I know that sounds insane.
A message for me. I have a tree outside that got struck by lightning. Mm. And ever since it got struck by lightning, I wrap him in hugs. And when it's really hot outside, I give him water and I can hear him being like, thanks. Like, thanks for the water, Jen.
Wow. Well, listen, I'm telling you, they will take care of you. You know, anybody that's wronged you or just anything you feel badly about or anything you're worried about, go talk to the trees. They will help you. And I'm not kidding, you guys. I'm not kidding. So try and remember, nature is your best friend. I'm telling you, especially right now.
All right, girl. I feel like this was a solo episode with Leslie and co-host Jen Sterling.
That's right. And it was. But no, I'm going to add all of her information in the show notes. And of course, Jen, thank you again for being on the podcast. You know, I'm going to have you back on.
Well, you know, as soon as I get something exciting, I'm going to be like, I have to come on the podcast because I have to share this with everyone. See, this is why I don't have my own, because I just take over yours.
It's okay. I love it. Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.